This is Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Money Moves, VSiN, the sports betting network, kicking off hour two of this Wednesday edition of the program alongside Keith Irizarry, who's holding it down in NYC, Stormy Bonantoni here in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino, home of the world's largest sports book. Lots to get to this hour. We're going to break down here in a moment what is a 15-game MLB slate. Keith is locked and loaded with the prop plays for today. We also have in about 30 minutes, Jonathan Von Tobel, my normal day-to-day co-host in studio, who's on vacation. He's putting in work this week, ladies and gentlemen. He's coming on with us, even though he's supposed to be enjoying his time in San Francisco, but he is going to break down the NBA draft coming up tonight, see if there is anything more bettable, predict the future a little bit, see what we can get on the board today. We'll have best bets at the end of the program and a special segment in 15 minutes. But I don't want to get too deep in the weeds on that one and explain it here. I'm going to save that for when we come up. Let's start with a little Major League Baseball, though, Keith, because, and I do have to let the people know again, don't get mad at me. You were awesome on Monday with these prop plays. They were all coming through. You go 5-1, which among those five was a plus 375 Fernando Tatis home run. You got that. Even your leans were good. So what was the first game that, as you were kind of going through the slate today, really caught your eye and you said, okay, I need to go with this one?
Yeah, I'll throw it out there again just to pat myself on the back today, at least. I had Luke Rayleigh and I had Julio Rodriguez. Rodriguez was like a 5-1.
Yes.
Rayleigh, I believe, was like plus 425. I flippantly said you could throw something on a home run for both of those guys, and they both did. The first game that jumped out to me on the slate today was Pirates and Brewers. You got Skeens and Mizorowski. They were born less than 60 days apart from each other. They're similar type of pitchers. Mizorowski is a guy that threw two starts, 11 innings, has allowed one hit. Literally, just one hit. So how do you play this, right? Skeens at a 1.85 ERA. Mizorowski at a 1.64 ERA. Neither of these teams are absolute mashers. I'm going to go under. I got in at even money. Under 6.5 runs scored in this game. It feels to me like this is a 4-2, 3-1 type of game. I'm not going to attack any player prop market on this one. And you know, typically I go player props. I'm going to go under 6.5, even money here.
You are not alone in that too. I am looking at the way that the odds have moved here. This did open 7, took money to the under. You got even money, and that's a good reminder to shop around on the prices here, because there are some books where I see that 6.5 to the under juiced as far as minus 120. So shop around, because every place is different. But taking an under on a 6.5, we're wilding out here. But you can't blame anybody for it, given the pitching matchup and the state of these offenses as well. Okay, where should we go next? What else really caught your eye this morning?
A few more things. By the way, I want to give a shout out. Ariel Epstein's going to be with me on this show on Friday.
Yes.
And I've worked with her a lot in the past at MLB Network. And one of our producers used to always get mad at her. Not mad at her, but like, say that's not going to happen. She's a big pitcher prop person. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times she would find edges where she goes like under 4.5 strikeouts. And one of our producers would always be like, why do we want to bet on that? Like, that feels like there's no wiggle room. Well, typically, she was hitting those, so those were good. I hope I hit this one. All right, let's go to Nationals and the Padres. Fernando Tatis Jr. was my guy the other day. We're going to go to James Wood here, and I think there's two ways to play it. Go total bases, still plus money, plus 135. Add in the home run, plus 370. Why am I picking on Nick Pivetta? Well, Nick Pivetta's given up at least one home run in 4 consecutive starts. He is 0-7 with a 10.13 ERA in starts against the Nationals. That's 10 starts against the Nationals. He has given up 45 earned runs in 40 innings pitched. That is bad. 9 of those starters, yeah, they were as a member of the Phillies from 17 to 19. As for Wood, if you just want to look at what he's done, 2 homers in his last 4 games, 4 homers in his last 6 games. So what I would do is I'd put a good amount of my unit on the total bases and then sprinkle a little bit on a home run as well.
And by the way, just to follow up on your comments about Ariel, yes, she will be on for me on Friday. I guess I haven't said this out loud yet, but I'll be a part of the NHL draft coverage on the World Feed coming up this Friday afternoon. So that is why I will be missing, but you will definitely be locked and loaded.
Was I not supposed to say that?
No, it's not a secret. It's not a secret. I just realized that I hadn't said anything about it yet. So that's where I will be on Friday for inquiring minds. But yes, yeah, so James Wood, over the 1.5 total bases, appreciate you, my friend, and a home run. You're going to the well with another over total bases and home run with Aaron Judge today as the Yankees try to rebound against the Reds. Boy, the Reds have been playing some good baseball lately. Why do you think today's the day that Judge gets back on track and can go over these numbers for you?
I like the matchup against Brady Singer. I think that works. When you look at Aaron Judge, who was, you know, on pace to win the Triple Crown and all that kind of stuff, and now, you know, as of late, he's barely, I think he's batting 217 in the month of June or whatever it is. The home runs aren't coming. At some point, he's going to break out a little bit. Career versus Singer, 5-for-13. Three-game hitting streak. So as bad as Aaron Judge has been, he's still getting some hits, and he does have two home runs over his last five games. So, again, you're going to double down on this one. You're going to play the total bases at minus 135, play that one safe. Then you're going to sprinkle in a home run. I ended up getting it at plus 176 on FanDuel was the best price I could find. If you can find a better price, obviously search your books and get it. That was the price that I got for Aaron Judge.
Okay, good stuff there. Let's go to Rockies Dodgers, the LA massive favorite today, minus 340 on the money line. Yoshinobu Yamamoto on the hill against Chase Dolander. Run total here is 11, but you are going to the prop market in this one, which I think is probably fair considering what a price we have on the game standard line. So what were you looking at?
So originally I was looking at Yamamoto and I was hoping for 5.5 strikeouts, but the book gave me 6.5 and I didn't feel comfortable with it. A lot of his numbers, I think he's getting 6 strikeouts today, and I don't want to bet the under on him because I think he might accidentally get a 7th. So I'm just going to stay away from it. If everybody feels like he can get the 7, do it. I think Yamamoto will have a good game. Rockies strike out the most in baseball, 9.81 per 9 innings this season. But I'm going to go with 2 players here. So all you books out there, you're so smart. Thank you. You priced us out of Ohtani total base props. You priced us out of hits, runs, RBI, Ohtani props. So how do you pivot? I'll go with a home run, and we're going to go with it again. Plus 130 is crazy. I'm going to go plus 130 on a Ohtani home run. Typically, that's a total base prop for people, but he's got back-to-back games with home runs. You talk about Dolander, 3 consecutive games with at least 1 home run allowed. 14 home runs allowed in 12 starts this season. His ERA is 6.19. Oh, by the way, against lefties, he is giving up 2.23 home runs per 9 innings. I don't know if you guys realize this. As our TV audience, you can watch this. I'm going to bring out my bat. Ohtani swings it from the left side. It's over here. That's how he hits it. So we're going to go home run for him. I'm going to stay with the Dodgers, give you one more. Max Muncy, you could go home run because, again, he swings from that left side. I'll keep it safer. Let's go total bases. Best one I found was on BetMGM at plus 115. Again, Dolander, we talk about the home runs he gives up to the lefties. Muncy over his last 15 games, 341, 2 home runs. The Dodgers lefty hitter, 317, 5 home runs, 21 games played in the month of June. As I will put my bat down, the lefties will mash tonight.
The bat is a nice touch. It's just a good exclamation point that shows how invested you truly are in a wager. For Shohei, it is funny too because you see the plus 130 on him to have an anytime home run. Cal Raleigh, who we talked about earlier, who leads Major League Baseball in home runs and is actually better at hitting them away from his home park than he is at home, is plus 220 today. He's had 6 homers in his last 7 games, and you're going back to the well today. Why do you think he can stay hot?
Because Joe Ryan struggles against left-handed hitters, and Raleigh can hit from both sides of the home plate. So Raleigh being a switch hitter, you can get him lefty. So you mentioned all the home runs. 5 home runs over his last 5 games, 10 home runs in the month of June. He's batting .325 as well. He's seeing the ball great during the 7-game hitting streak. He's batting .485 as Raleigh with the 6 home runs at 15 RBIs. Twins pitchers have a 9.60 ERA, which is 48 earned runs in 45 innings pitched during their 5-game losing streak. So the Twins are struggling as a team. The pitchers are struggling as well. Opponent's batting average is over .350. It's like .353, .354. The OPS is 917. Like, all of the numbers will thrust you towards Cal Raleigh, who had a 4-game streak of home runs end yesterday. You know what starts? A new streak today. Another home run for Raleigh. You get a home run. You get a home run. We all get home runs.
I love it. And to further the point about what he's doing being special, like, not only does he lead Major League Baseball in home runs right now, but we need to remember he's doing it as a catcher as well. The single season Major League record for home runs by a catcher is 48. He's got 32, and it's not even the All-Star break yet. It is awesome and so much fun to watch. Last 90 seconds or so, anything else real quickly you want to give out before we have to hit the break? And we'll rehash all these best bets at the end of the hour, by the way.
Yeah. Quick one, Pete Crow Armstrong. We're going to go over 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs, minus 135. A little bit juicy, but decent numbers against Fetty. 1-for-2 with a single, 4-game hitting streak, and he's topped this prop in 2 of his last 4 games. I just love anytime you have a name like this, and then you can go PCA. Yeah, so PCA is going to get the over 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs.
I am laughing because we just went through so many games. I have 2 bets on the Major League Baseball slate today. And when I was looking through your bets, I was like, wow, I have 2 bets. You've got a million. And none of them overlap. So when we get to my best bets at the end of the hour,
correlated.
Nothing correlated. But I'll be excited. I like when I can bounce some of my ideas off of you and see if I can... I already have my bets in pocket, obviously, but if there's a tweak in a way, I might want to add on said games because I am invested in Marlins Giants and Rangers Orioles a little bit later on. So we'll get to that. But coming up next, it's time for a segment NFL related that we're calling Yes, Chef. We will explain to you why when we come back. Don't go anywhere. More Money Moves coming up after this.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Time is running out, ladies and gentlemen, to get involved in the Winner Circle Proxy giveaway. Enter to win a free entry into Circa Survivor or the Circa Million contest. Proxy service included with a $21 million prize up for grabs. Deadline to enter is tonight at 11:59 p.m. Eastern. And of course, that's $21 million between the two contests. But winners will be announced live this Friday on a numbers game with our guy, Gil Alexander. And get this, you'll get exclusive strategy and access to Gil all season long. I know some people had chimed in with us on Twitter asking who is the VSiN host that will be helping them through the season that you'll have access to. Gil Alexander. Head over to winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN to enter now. That's winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN. Last day to do it. And you can see downstairs behind me, Winner Circle Proxy, they are there signing people up for the contest now. I am waiting for my dad to come to town, Keith, next month. And we're going to sign up for all of the Circa Million and Survivor together. I'm still trying to figure out how many entries I want to do. We got to get you down here to Vegas to get your signups, though. That's what's important. Add it to the list, buddy.
Talk to the bosses over at VSiN. Have them fly me out. I have really done a lot of, I asked for an NBA player from our producer. I then said, can we do a show, Money Moves at Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest? And now I'm asking for the bosses to fly me out to Vegas. Wow.
I didn't realize you were so needy, Keith. You got a lot going on.
Didn't realize it either.
Oh, I will say, by the way, for anyone who missed it in hour one, and if you did, Money Moves, always downloadable in podcast form wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow the Money Moves _VSiN Instagram, where we're posting clips and different things all the time. But we were talking about the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, which is coming up, of course, on the 4th of July. The Joey Chestnut over under for hot dogs eaten came out, and we were having a fun little debate there, and Brian M. chimed in on X, said, can't bet the Nathan's contest until you have the weather forecast, the heat, humidity. It's Joey's biggest competition. Absolutely. We understand that. We talked a lot about how the conditions have impacted different hot dog eaters in the past. So trust me, we are well aware these bets are not placed now, but it is a friendly debate because I think Joey Chestnut is going to get up there in the 70s once again. That said, go back to the podcast if you want to hear that conversation. We're going to get into NFL talk here. For anyone who has followed along with Money Moves in the past, you know our producer, Brian Ortega, is very into cinema. movies, television. He comes on and does the Academy Awards odds with us all the time. And he is very excited, as am I, that season 4 of The Bear is coming out tonight. And so we're having a little bit of fun with the premiere of season 4 as people who love the show and get into it. And I know you and your wife, you watched season 1, you liked it. You got to get back into it, my man. We're looking at a handful of different fun parlays. And if you like it, I want to get a yes chef from you. If you don't, I need you to tell me why. A no chef, explain some rationale as to why we're not getting into it. Does that work for you?
100% works for me. Yes chef.
All right. And this is Yes Chef. I love music and a graphic reveal. Is that a plate? Is that on a plate? Oh, look at us.
That's a plate.
We're serving up parlays today because even though, of course, we always talk about the best way to be profitable long-term in betting, we know, is doing single game plays, being smart about your bankroll, all of these different things. But we can't get y'all off parlays, so we're going to have a little bit of fun here for a few minutes, cooking up some of our own. And this first one, entree number one, that Brian is calling the front-running platter. We're going to go through here. Bills to make the playoffs, Ravens to make the playoffs, Chiefs to make the playoffs, Texans, Eagles, Lions, 49ers, Bucks. Are you catching a theme here? They are all the division favorites to make the postseason. 16-1 for all of these to come together. What do you think? Could you say yes, chef, or is it a no for you?
Can I break it down? Can I break this entree down first and then
do it?
All right. So the Buffalo Bills will make the playoffs. Josh Allen, the rest of the team, blah, blah, blah. Fine. The Baltimore Ravens continue to add players. They're going to make the playoffs. The Kansas City Chiefs will make the playoffs. I'm going to skip one for a second. The Philadelphia Eagles will make the playoffs. I'm going to skip another one for a second. The 49ers, I think, will make the playoffs. The Buccaneers, I think, will make the playoffs. Let's go back to the Texans and the Lions. Those are the two teams that scare me, just because we've seen so much love for them over the last two seasons, right? The Texans, you know, being kind of the darlings with CJ Stroud. I think they make the playoffs. The Lions, I think, make the playoffs. So as I break it all down, yes, chef, you can interest
really?
Me in this entree. Yes, this amuse-bouche or something. I don't know.
On the surface, I like it too, but at 16-1, you need a lot to go right, and there is so much potential for injuries to derail a season. Like, who would have thought that the San Francisco 49ers last year, coming off a Super Bowl appearance, weren't going to make the playoffs? Not only did they not make the playoffs, they came dead last in the NFC West. And I'm glad that this is at least playoffs, not division favorites to win the division paired together, because I was looking through, the last time every division favorite went on to win their respective division was 2010. We see teams go from worst to first every year. So this parlay, to me, as I go through it, it's kind of like a lasagna. Like, it's a little bit bland and boring, and you're not real. Like, it's, you're layering the pasta and the meat sauce, and you forgot cheese. You forgot herbs, right? We need a little spice in our life. There's just, like, there's no real intrigue to this parlay for me, which means something's going to mess it up. So that's a no. No chef.
So this is just a, so it's no a chef. Poorly constructed lasagna.
Poorly constructed. You can't have a lasagna without cheese. Are we like a weird vegan lasagna? Entree number two, the Northern Lights Bake. We're going back to the playoffs well here. You just mentioned you're not the Lions, but you said yes to it. Lions, Packers, and Vikings all to make the playoffs coming out of the NFC North. Plus 950 the price here. Can they get three of four teams in?
No, chef. I'm not in on this one. The Bears are going to be better, so someone's going to get tripped up by them at some point. The book is still out on J.J. McCarthy. I know he looked really good in the preseason last year, but a torn meniscus ended up making him miss the entire season last year. I don't know what Minnesota's going to be. Again, I didn't believe in Sam Darnold last year. I'd like to believe that J.J. McCarthy is going to be a solid player there. The Packers should make the playoffs. The Lions will make the playoffs. Someone will miss. It might be the Vikings. I'm going to say no, chef. I do not want your Northern Lights Bake, and I would like to move on to whatever else you have to offer me, chef.
Also, can I say, just like a Packers fan, or however many time owner Brian says that he is, to not include the Bears, like to not have the Bears as one of the three legs in this one, very Packers fan bitterness there. Since the NFL realigned in 2002, Keith, three teams from the same division have made the playoffs 9 times. That might seem like a lot, but in 23 years, 9 is not the bulk of that. So if it, that's because these divisions beat up on each other often. And this, if this is a division you think is going to be good, I think that could very well happen here. And the NFC has a handful of teams that I think could be unsuspecting teams that make the postseason this year. So it's a no chef for me as well. Entree number 3. The California Club. But instead of going make for these two teams, Brian has the Chargers to make the playoffs and the Rams to miss the playoffs parlayed together at plus 350. What do you think?
Yeah, just like if you were to order and eat a California Club, it's kind of a lame meal, kind of a, you know, boring, it's a miss. This is also a miss. No chef. Rams will be in the playoffs. Yes. So it already missed there, and the Chargers making the playoffs. They might actually make the playoffs. I'll buy there. So 1 out of 2 doesn't cut it because a parlay, you need both. So no thank you, chef.
Yeah, I think it's like very typical LA, actually, that you're just doing too much. Like, have you ever gone to eat at one of those hipster restaurants in LA and they've got like 80 different things on the plate and you're just like, why is this necessary? I just want to eat something good. Well, the Rams.
No, I'm on the East Coast.
Good.
I've done that in Brooklyn, though.
I don't know if you've ever seen the show Letterkenny, but whenever I say like the letters L.A., I want to say it how they do. Like, have you ever gone hiking in L.A.? L.A. is just
LA.
The best, but I won't do it. Okay, last one here, last 90 seconds. Entree number 4, Voodoo Falcon Bites. The Saints to make the playoffs, but the Falcons to miss. Plus 550.
Saints won't make the playoffs. Falcons probably will. No chef. And we could be quick on this one if you want to try to sneak in the fifth one.
Sure, they're trying to be too spicy. This is like a Carolina Reaper, so it's a no chef for me as well. Commanding Cowboy Philly Wrap. Eagles to make the playoffs. Commanders to make the playoffs. Cowboys to make the playoffs. What did I just tell you guys about divisions? But okay, what do you think?
Yes. This one is so intriguing. I do love a Philly cheesesteak. No, the Cowboys aren't making the playoffs, so no. No chef.
And it's 9-1. We talked about this earlier. I do think that this is a good buy low year for the Cowboys, but that's to go over 7.5 wins. I'm not saying that we're going to go back to the 12-win Cowboys of old and that everything all of a sudden is going to be kumbaya and wonderful over there. Plus, I told you earlier, too, I'm not fully sold on this Washington Commanders team being as great as everybody said they are going to be. I love Jaden Daniels. I think he's fantastic, but sophomore slumps do happen. Their schedule is more difficult now. They have a full season of tape on Jaden Daniels. Think about how many games last year Washington had that he had to pull them out of the dirt in the fourth quarter to come back and win. So, no chef, to put it like that. We'll be right back.
We cook.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Dallas Mavericks got a Powerball gift from the gods and will have the number 1 overall pick and the rights to draft Cooper Flagg tonight at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn as the NBA draft gets underway. Welcome back to Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 158, alongside Keith Irizarry, Stormy Bonantoni with you today. My usual co-host, Jonathan Von Tobel, is on vacation, yet somehow was still willing to come on the air with us today. JVT, Money Moves host, our NBA betting expert here at Visa. What's going on, buddy? And I am so sorry that we are bothering you today, but happy NBA draft.
I mean, you can't be that sorry because I'm here. But I will say that I am very happy that the NBA draft is here. Very excited. It's a deep class. It should be a really good group of players all the way down through 20 that are going to have an impact, I think, on their respective teams when they get drafted. So I'm looking forward to seeing these guys get drafted. I am looking forward to seeing them in a uniform already, which, of course, we are months away from.
Going into this draft, Ace Bailey was believed to be the number 3 pick or even the number 2 if you liked him better than Dylan Harper. We've seen him kind of drop anywhere from 5 to 8. Why do you think he chose to go this route with not meeting with these teams, and how much will this affect him?
I mean, it seems like it's affecting him greatly, to answer the second question first, because by all accounts, DJ Edgecombe has overtaken him as the favorite to be the 3rd overall pick. guys like Jonathan Givony and others are really reporting, and it seems that there's a lot of weight to it, that he just doesn't want to go in this area, that the reason why he's handled this in this way is because he doesn't want to go to some of these teams, from canceling his workout with the Philadelphia 76ers and whatnot. I don't know if there's a team specifically in mind he wants to go to, but like it seems outside of that like 3 to 6 range is where he wants to end up. So I don't know if there's something like Wizards or something out there that he wants to end up with, but I would say, Keith, that it's greatly affected what's going to happen here. Now, the 76ers are an interesting wild card because Daryl Morey is a guy that never really is generally in this position, and we don't know what he's going to do with the top 3 pick. So maybe he just says screw it and goes and gets the guy because of his upside. But I would venture a guess that we see him slip at the very least outside of the top 5, and then we really start to see whether or not he's going to go 6 and beyond. But I would say Wizards probably make the most sense for where he ends up going, because it does feel like maybe that's where he wants to end up.
So, JVT, if you can, talk us through this top 5. Mavs have the first pick, then San Antonio, Philadelphia, Charlotte, and Utah. How do you see that playing out, and is there a potential bet to be made in the top 5?
Yeah, so I think really, it's walking you guys through like the top 5 in the sense of like 3 through 5, right? Because 1 and 2 are pretty much cemented in. Cooper Flagg is going to go 1. Dylan Harper is going to go 2. Really, the question is, like we just talked about, is it really VJ Edgecombe at number 3? I would say that's still the odds-on favorite, as rightfully so. And then at number 4, Con Knipple is really where it starts to get interesting. I think a lot of people have made the tie to Charlotte for Knipple only because he's a very good fit. When you're talking about putting him in between LaMelo Ball and Brandon Miller, I think it makes a ton of sense. But I do wonder if you're going to see the Charlotte Hornets maybe look elsewhere. You could see them maybe look at Jeremiah Sears, despite the fact that they have LaMelo Ball, but Ball is oft injured, and his father is creating some smoke about getting him to my team, the Los Angeles Clippers. We'll see if there's actually something there. They could go Trey Johnson. They could go Bailey. So I think that's going to be the interesting part. Knipple is the favorite to go number 4, but I think you're probably not as confident as you are at number 5. There's a lot of smoke that Jeremiah fears is not going to get past the Utah Jazz. So you can go in a couple of different directions there in terms of playing that. You can either go top 5 at plus 175. You can lay a price on him to go in under his draft position. But I think top 5 plus 175 is the best way to do it. You're getting a better price there. There's the option he could go number 4 to Charlotte. Don't think he's going to get by Utah at number 5. And you're getting the most payback on a small price. So inside the top 5, I think currently, Jeremiah Thiers, point guard out of Oklahoma, to go top 5 seems like the best bet.
JVT, how about Kasparis Jakachionis, someone who I can remember as the NCAA tournament was unwinding, a lot of people thought he could end up being a top 10 player. Where do you see him fitting?
I don't think it's going to happen. I just don't think it really makes too much sense. Like, if you look inside of the top 10, if we're kind of believing everything we're seeing here, you know, the Brooklyn Nets selecting at number 8, I don't think it's going to go that high. Noah Essengay, of course, the kid playing from Germany, being slated in, you know, with pencil at number 9 with the Toronto Raptors. And then the Phoenix Suns, I don't think, are going to go and get another ball on-ball guy that it really makes sense. And the same thing with Portland, right? Portland just went and got Drew Holiday. They have Scoot Henderson. They have Shaedon Sharpe. There's no reason to really get another ball handler that needs it in his hands. I just don't think it makes too much sense that we're going to see him fall inside of the top 11. His draft position, Keith, at 11.5. You're only laying about $1.15, $1.10 to go over that. I think it makes way more sense that he's going to find himself in that 12 and up range. It's not anything against him. I just don't think that there's much room in terms of his position, his skill set, and what some of these teams need somewhere in that range. And it makes more sense that a team like Chicago, if and when he falls there, would snatch him up and onward. So I think you're probably going with Jakachionis over 11.5. I think it makes the most sense. There's not a lot of teams in that range, and I think it would make more sense for him to go 12 and beyond as opposed to 11 and under.
And I know you have a similar thought process on a position total over 11.5 for Derek Queen. Why?
Yeah, well, so there's a couple of things here, Stormy, with Derek Queen. First off, there's a lot of reports that the workouts just haven't really gone well in this thing, right? Conditioning issues, the shooting mechanics have kind of been all over the place, according to some reports. There's been some reports that have said that when he is in there with other players, like 3-on-3s and whatnot, that he's been pretty good. But it's really mixed. And when you look at this center class overall, it's actually kind of deep when you look at some of these forwards and centers that you can go and get. Thomas Sorver out of Georgetown. You can even tie in Asa Newell coming out of Georgia. Like, we can go down the list of guys that you can get in, like, the late teens, early 20s that really would fit the role of center. and you don't have those questions around them like a Derrick Queen type does, I think there's a reality where he does start to slip here. And again, too, it's like the same thing when you look around the makeup of these teams floating around that 11.5 range, right? You know, Phoenix, Toronto, Portland. I just don't think there's really many fits for a guy like Queen to end up there. I think it makes much more sense that he's going to start to slip in those mid rounds because, again, because of positional value, centers are valuable. But when you have such a deep class like this, I think teams are going to be willing to take other pieces and see if they can come back on the back end and get a center in the back end of the first round. So I think that leads to Queen slipping, and we'll see like how far it is. I was just, you know, talking with Kelly and Zach about this. Like, I feel like it could make some sense that he takes a precipitous drop from the draft position that is put out there by the betting market.
How about Kaman Malawach, another guy from Duke? You talked about Knepel. Everyone talks about Cooper Flagg. Malawach will go somewhere in the top 10, but he was a late bloomer, didn't start playing basketball to like 3-4 years ago. A big dude, very athletic. Where do you see him fitting?
You know, it's interesting because if you look at him, the projections are New Orleans at number 7, right? Like, that's part of the plot. A lot of the mock drafts have him. Gavoni has him going there. But, Keith, what I find interesting is, again, when you talk about the way that you've handled the position, Ezeci just had a very good season for the New Orleans Pelicans, your 2024 first-round pick at number 21. I don't know why you would go again and then stockpile another center with a high draft pick like Malawach there at number 7. So if that's the case, and maybe the Pelicans say, you know what, we're going to swing elsewhere, we're going to try something else, then you kind of look around and you go, hey, you know what? Like, Brooklyn, probably not going to spend the 8th overall pick on a center. They want more upside. They want a guy like maybe Trey Johnson, who's projected to go there, or maybe some of these other ball handlers that could slip. I think it's kind of the same thing with Malawach, where, like, let's say you're one of these teams that could use the center in the range that we're discussing. Maybe Chicago ends up being an opportunity for him if he slips that far. But I don't know if it's like this overall lock that he is going to be a top 10 pick. I think there's actually a chance we see him slip a little bit as well, just again, because of the strength of the position where some of these teams are needing guys.
Real quick, JVT, we opened the show today talking about all of the news around the Boston Celtics and coming off of Jason Tatum's injury. You knew they were going to have to move off some guys because of the luxury tax and the second apron and all of that. Drew Holiday is gone. They move off of Kristaps Porzingis, and there's some talk out there about could they maybe do something today with the NBA draft and moving off of some of those other talented guys at Jaylen Brown or a Derek White. Do you think anything like that could be possible today?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's totally possible, sir, because there's a couple of things, right? Like, we don't want to call it a lost year, but we know what Boston is going to be next year. And with new ownership, remember, that's always the key here. And when you look at that paycheck that you're going to have to write when it comes to what this team was going to cost, it made a lot of sense that a lot of these dudes were going to move, that they're going to flip them to lighten up the load and really to prepare themselves for a larger window when Jason Tatum eventually comes back from this Achilles injury. You know, you think about this, there's a reality in which the Celtics are not going to bottom out, but they're not going to be as great. They're going to stockpile assets, and they're going to be able to just flip this thing over and reload for the 2026-2027 season once Jason Tatum comes back and he's healthy. So I think it makes a ton of sense, given everything we know, what this Celtics team is doing, given the injury that happened to Jason Tatum. And I think they're priming themselves for the big picture and trying to get ready for when Tatum comes back. They've got a bunch of young players and a larger window to compete with teams like the Thunder and others that are going to be around for a really long time. So I think we could see a lot that's going to happen. We've already seen a ton. Dude, this offseason's been crazy. We're like 4 days into it, not even.
Yeah. Hey, genuinely, thank you so much for doing this. Enjoy the rest of your vacation. We will not be bothering you again. Head over to the Buena Vista, throw back some Irish coffees, and have a great rest of your day.
All right, guys. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, JVT. What a guy. I'm telling you, I wouldn't do it. Really appreciate him. We're going to take a quick timeout when we come back. Final block of the show already. Best bets. Maybe I'll get an Irish coffee when I get out of here. That sounds kind of good now that you bring it up. We'll be right back.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're wrapping up this Wednesday edition of Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM, Channel 158, alongside Keith Irizarry, Stormy Bonantoni with you. And again, really want to thank JVT for joining us here on NBA Draft Day, getting out some last minute bets for those of you at home, because he is on vacation. He's literally on day three of vacation, Keith, and we were already bugging him. I genuinely do feel bad about this. But he's our NBA betting expert. You know, pick next week.
I feel a little bad, but when you are an expert in said sports and a big event is happening for said sport, even when you're on vacation, you know he's paying attention. It's not like he's not.
Yeah.
You know that he woke up early before everyone in his family was up, and he was on his apps, and he was looking through everything. Like, he would have been doing it anyway. So why not spend 11 minutes with us talking about it? I don't feel that bad about that.
He's our senior NBA analyst, okay? It's draft day. No, I genuinely really appreciate it, though, and he's having a good time out there. Went to the Giants game yesterday.
Yes.
Out at the Buena Vista, throwing those Irish coffees back. Brian M. chiming in, by the way, saying, did you remind Adam Burke to have him set his alarm with JVT on vacation? We all got the NFL betting guide stuff in, okay? Have no fear. Keith, you don't know this, but when Adam Burke joins us, usually each week, but both of them are obviously on vacation now, because he is our VSiN.com managing editor, JVT and I may or may not be procrastinators that get in at the last minute, but we did it. We met the deadline, and that's all that matters. Also, before we get to our best bets, and I think this is a great question for you because you did have a prop, not a prop, excuse me, the one game you went for a total in. You did have a bet in this Pirates-Brewers game. FSU Bob said, any thoughts on Brewers-Pirates with either pitcher to throw a perfect inning to start the game? From a betting perspective for us, like, are there any first inning angles you think that we could approach?
No, all the prices were not good for that, so I'm going to say no to that. But if you wanted to go first five, you go under 2.5 runs. Depending on where you're looking at the book, the first one I looked at was FanDuel, plus 108 for under 2.5. You've got Mizorowski, who has been as good as any pitcher maybe has ever been through his first two starts in the majors, a 1.64 ERA, two total runs allowed in two starts, just one hit allowed in 11 innings. And then Paul Skenes is quite possibly the best pitcher in the world at 1.85 ERA. So, sure, could this be a 1-1 game after five? Could it be a 2-0 game after five? Yeah, I could rock with that. And then you're getting plus money there, too. So a couple different ways to attack that game. Actually, maybe you do both, right? Maybe you play the first five, you go under 2.5, and you do that at plus 108. Also play the under on the game total at even money. I know some of the books have changed. I got at even money. I think it's, you said something like minus 120 at most books now. But you still, you might find a way to win a few different ways in this game.
Yeah, shop around on those prices. There's minus 110s out there, but I did see some books that had moved to minus 115, minus 120 on that under. And to your point about the first inning prices, the no-run first inning in this one is minus 215 with these pitchers. No thank you. But if you're interested in an under on hits or something like that, minus 115 for there to be no hits for the Brewers in the first. Same price there for there to be no hits for the Pirates in the first, if that's another angle that you want to approach it. But let's get to some more of the best bets. You already mentioned you're under on this game, but our best bets today presented by GBank, First Bet, and VSiN, because we've got a trifecta going on right now, ladies and gentlemen. All you need to do to trigger the trifecta is open a GBank Visa signature card. Your first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet. You'll also receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa signature card. First Bet gives you a $100 deposit match, and VSiN completes the trifecta with a VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st, a $200 value there. And remember, I just told you, we did our articles for the NFL betting guide that's coming out on July 1st. When you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you get access to the betting guide as a part of that subscription where you get everything else. But that is the $500 trifecta from, again, GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. VSiN.com/GBank is how you can get more information or sign up. It's a one-time promotion limited to customers opening a new account in response to the offer. Will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. Was there anything when we were going through baseball earlier, Keith, that we missed of your plays? I know we're going to rehash a bunch of them, but was there anything that we haven't talked about yet that you wanted to get out there?
No, we got Pete Armstrong in there. No, we ended up getting
Did you do Vladdy Guerrero? You didn't do Blue Jays Guardians, did you?
He's in my best bets.
Okay, well then let's get to it. Why don't we start there? Why did you like Vladimir Guerrero over 1.5 total bases?
Yep, over 1.5 total base, minus 125, had two hits on Tuesday. He has been someone where when he gets hot, you ride those streaks. Two or more bases, five of his last seven games. So he's clearly hitting very well right now. The Blue Jays are in the thick of this, you know, playoff push. I know that we're only on June 25th, but they're in a division where the Yankees are stumbling right now. The Rays are playing pretty good baseball. Also against Gavin Williams, career versus Williams, 2-for-6 with a double. So I'm going to take the over 1.5 total bases for Senor Vladdy.
Okay, I'm going to go to a game that we hadn't talked about earlier, and I'm curious your opinion on. I'm looking at the F5 under 3.5 in Marlins Giants. Logan Webb and Edward Cabrera on their respective hills. Webb, we know he's been awesome this season, particularly great at home, 4-1, 1.35 ERA when pitching in San Francisco. Marlins are a bottom 10 team scoring runs in the first five. Giants also not a great scoring team in the F5. Last month, by the way, third worst OPS of any team. Cabrera has been really good lately. His last time out against this Giants lineup went 5 2/3, toss and shutout bar, a pitcher friendly park, low total for the game at 7, but specifically taking the bullpens out of this and going under 3.5 for the first five.
So I like this because I'm a big Logan Webb guy, and what he's been doing as of late has been great. All right, his last outing was a 2-1 win over the Guardians. That was, what, last Thursday, I think that was. One run, 7 innings. So you're actually getting a lot out of him. Now, he walks people, at 3 walks, but it's 30 strikeouts over the last 4 starts. So I actually think you could look at his K prop as well, 114 strikeouts and just 20 walks on the season. His strikeout-to-walk ratio is almost 6. That is, like, sick. So, yeah, I think this is a really good play by you.
Okay, wow, we agree on something. I'm very excited. where else do you want to go next? Cruise through. We've only got 3 minutes left, so cruise through some of those props because I know you have a bunch.
So I had a bunch earlier. We could rehash some of them. Probably my favorite one is just going back to the well on Cal Raleigh. We're going to go home run here. Plus 220 is where I got in on it. 5 home runs over his last 5 games and just had his 4-game homer streak snapped yesterday. 10 home runs in the month of June, batting 325. So it's not just home runs. This isn't, you know, old school Rob Deere that he's batting 220 and hitting home runs. Batting 483 during a 7-game hitting streak with 6 home runs. Going up against Joe Ryan, who is a solid pitcher, but guess what? Ryan, not great against lefties. Raleigh is a switch hitter, so he'll hit lefty against him. Twins pitchers during their losing streak right now. 9.60 ERA. That's 48 earned runs in the last 45 innings pitched. That is bad. So Cal Raleigh should be a good bet tonight. You could look at the total bases too, but I'd rather the better than 2-1 odds on the home run.
Okay. I know that you are paying a price for Rangers money line today. It's minus 150, minus 155 against the Orioles. But anyone who has watched the show lately knows that I do not like the Orioles. And even for as good as some of the metrics have been this month, big picture, and even like some recent stuff, not as good. Then you've got Jason DeGrom going for Texas, who's allowed 2 runs or fewer in 12 straight starts. The Rangers have gone on to win 4 straight with him on the hill. So getting the run support he needs for these wins as well. Brandon Young, a guy that just got called back up from the minors, his 2 start up for the Orioles this year, ERA over 6. The Orioles have the 3rd worst bullpen ERA in the league. The Rangers have the 3rd best. So give me Texas at a little bit of a juicy money line. I know that the price is a little heavy, but I feel good about it today.
Let me ask you, how many runs do you think the Rangers can score tonight? Because we could put this together and make something a little bigger.
That probably not a lot. So are you looking to tailor this to the under as well? Do a little parlay action?
Oh, yeah. Like I wonder if you can go Rangers money line and then, I don't know, like under 6.5 or something like that.
Oh, like going all under. Interesting. Yeah, I don't mind that at all. I mean, but that also goes to a potential under in this game as well. Neither of these teams' bats are anything to write home about. So the total in this one, 8.5.
Could be something there.
I don't hate that at all. Okay,
if it's 8.5, then I would go 7.5.
Last minute, anything else real quickly you want to throw out there? Otherwise, remember, when you download the show, you can get all of the plays at the top of this hour.
Just Shohei Ohtani. He's going to homer tonight. Yeah. And it's the odds stink at plus one. Like, the price is dumb at plus 130. There's a reason. He's going to hit a home run tonight. Max Muncy's probably going to get a couple of hits tonight. And the Dodgers might score 87 runs versus the Rockies.
You're looking at some big dogs today. We got Cal Raleigh, Shohei Ohtani, Aaron Judge. I know you did the total bases on him
in a home run
for that one. So, like, all of these potential MVPs.
James Wood.
Today's the day. Get the bats going, gentlemen. Fun show as always, Keith.
What'd you say about bats?
Oh, perfect. See, I love that you just have that baseball bat on call whenever we need it. Every baseball segment. We just got to get it going. Fun stuff as always. That's a wrap for us today. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us. We'll see if we can keep the good vibes rolling with MLB. Been a really rock solid last couple of days. Hopefully today will come through. Prop points with Nick Whalen coming up after this as Keith takes a slice with the bat. Have a great day, everybody.